Welcome to this special Dream Emmy-themed edition of the TV Line podcast. I'm Michael Osiello. Over the coming weeks, we'll be sitting down with actors and producers we believe deserve to be recognized at this year's Emmy Awards. Included in that list is, of course, Miss Lauren Graham, who triumphantly reprised her role as Lorelai Gilmore in Netflix's four-part revival, Gilmore Girls, A Year in the Life, which will be competing in the limited series categories. Lauren, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
So competing in the limited series categories, there's always drama around where Gilmore Girls is going to be, because you can't categorize it. I think that's part of it. It's like it defies categorization. But also this is trickier because it is a limited series, but it's also a returning series.
Well, I'm not sure all the machinations behind the scenes, but I think... When it's always tough to have this conversation because it seems to presume that I think we have, you know, been, I hate the word snubbed or any, you know, it's sort of a weird place to be to talk about it as if it's something that should have happened by now. But when we were on originally, there was a certain amount of complaining from fans, but from, you know, the press, that the show was somehow slipping through the cracks. And one of those complaints had to do with what category does it belong in. When our first year we submitted in drama, I was nominated for Golden Globe and a SAG Award, and then right before the Emmys, they thought, you know, the show really has a better chance in comedy, and we submitted in comedy and fell off the map awards-wise. TV critics and stuff would still, you know, talk about the show. But it wasn't, I think the idea being at the time Ally McBeal was in that category in comedy, and so maybe we belong there too as another sort of mixed, you know, dramedy type show. So when the discussion came up this time, I honestly wasn't sure how to feel about it. I think limited series makes the most sense, and then it takes it out of that drama comedy, but... question, but now everything is a limited series, and the best television I've ever seen in my entire life is also in that category this year. So I think it's, you know, I think it's tough, but it's nice to be here with you talking about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad it's in limited series too. I'm glad it's in there with the big boys and girls where it really belongs. But it's crazy to think that your competition, and we're going to get away from this in a second, is four Oscar winners. You know, it's insane because it just goes to show you how much TV has changed too since Gilmore Girls was originally on.
I wish it changed a little less.
Because it's like everyone, literally everyone, there's no line anymore.
No. Well, and it's not even just that. It's some of really our finest, Oscar nominated or not, our finest actors, our finest performances, shows that, you know, I'm a TV Academy voter. And I know you vote for what you already like. It's nice to get screeners in the mail. I try to watch as many as I possibly can or familiarize myself with shows, you know, I hear about and haven't watched. But ultimately, it's hard to take in, especially now how much content there is. And you tend to vote for what you like, you know, already. Mm. And our show has always struggled in that if you don't know the show, you might think it's for teens or for just women, or for just young girls, or for just moms, or for, you know. And we still, even in this Netflix revival, had so much reaction from Netflix even saying, God, we had no idea. I mean, you really have a lot of fans. The people like this show, you know, and the people who had bought it because they understood there was an audience for it, still were surprised at the international response, at the, you know, so... We've always, you know, we've been here before.
Yeah. Well, regardless of what happens in July when Emmy nominations come out, one good thing that has come out of quote-unquote Emmy season is it's allowed you to immerse yourself back in this experience again. And because I know it's something that meant a lot to you. And has that been nice, been able to sort of revisit it? Because it's sort of like it went away and now it's back.
I'm still not recovering, but I'm still... not over it, you know. I'm and to talk about it again after not talking about it for a couple of months reminds me how powerful an experience it was for me, the whole thing. But you know, it was one thing back in the day when I was sort of an actor for hire and you couldn't really grasp what it was to be on a long-running show until after it was over. But the level of joy and, you know, enjoyment and just the high I felt to go back to it was unbelievable. And it's hard to imagine. I don't think anything will ever top that. So it's just hard to know how to feel or what to do next, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult to communicate how special an experience it was. And I do think, you know, there's an aspect to that show, there always was, of making it feel breezy and easy and light and fun and fluffy. And you know, the truth is that writing is complex and really smart, and it's like putting on a little play, you know, and I miss it.
You know, this project had been rumored for a long time. It took a long time for it to come together. Do you sort of partly feel like I'm glad it took this long because it allowed me to be in the place where I was to really appreciate it in a way that maybe if it had happened 2 or 3 years after, I wouldn't have been?
For sure. And I would like to think no matter when it happened, I would have understood it better. But for me personally, this, everything about it was, enabled me to be in a place I'd never been before, which was to be fully present in an experience that was extremely positive while I was having the extremely positive experience. I don't think I can compare it to anything, you know. And just the whole feeling of love and support around it, you know, the people who would grab my arm in the grocery store and say, "We're so excited," you know, that kind of knowing you were doing something people wanted, as opposed to, you know, I just went through and I had a wonderful time, but a pilot season where it's so, to return to that level of unknown, you know, is more what I'm used to. And so there was so much kind of goodwill around it. For me, it was perfect, and it was perfect the way it came back to that Amy and Dan could make, you know, whether people loved it or not, could do it the way they wanted to, exactly, you know, could do it in this format, could do it, you know, with no commercial interruption, with no creative, you know, being noted to death. I mean, the Netflix people were fantastic and let them do what they wanted. So all of that was perfect. All that was perfect. I just literally don't know what I do now.
Even its release date turned out to be perfect as far as, you know, I see it. We just gotten through this brutal election season,
yeah,
and a result that a lot of people were not happy with. And
yeah,
then presto, Gilmore Girls is here for everyone to save the day.
Yeah. And I know, I think, you know, for some people it was too, not happy enough, you know, as happy a show as it is. I know that, you know, that Ed storyline gave it a depth that it, you know, a darkness that it hadn't had before. I feel particularly proud because there was a big discussion over, there was talk of perhaps releasing it Wednesday, the day before, as a fun
surprise.
Yeah. And Amy and I felt really strongly, you know, there's just so much kind of sense of connection and loyalty to the people who are the reason that it came back, you know, who are the fans who have watched it and shown it to their kids and friends and whatever. And I kept saying, you don't understand, this is not normal binge-watchy people. This is, people are having parties, they're planning snacks, they're
festivals.
You know, there's festivals in various towns in Connecticut. And, you know, and I didn't want, you know, I'm just picturing like kids running home from college and it's already, really because of the internet, you know. It would have been a great idea, I think, you know, was there not such an appetite for spoilers.
Yeah.
And, so I was glad that it came out on that Thursday. But it did make my book deadline because it was
right,
originally the first or second week of January. Then they thought it should be Christmas and then Thanksgiving. So it kept moving closer.
Do you remember getting the scripts for the first time? Did you get them all at the same time?
I got them all at the same time, and it was maybe a day or two before the table read. I mean, it was really down to the wire. Various things were still being negotiated, and there was, you know, as they always do in these situations, a very real threat that it was going to go away.
Nothing I remember.
Was going to happen, and, you know. And so I didn't want to see anything until I knew it was happening, and then something was happening, and I read them slowly. I mean, I read Winter because we had a table read the next day, but we've talked about this, but I didn't read them all right away because we were able, partially because of the way the town, you can't switch seasons. You have to shoot all the town in one season. So it was vaguely in order. And so I could wait, and I definitely waited to read fall and had very strange levels of aversion to reading it. Not aversion, but I just was afraid to see the end and afraid of being disappointed or afraid of it being over. It wasn't rational. It was just like, it was, I knew potentially that was really, really goodbye. Plus Amy had talked to me about this speech she'd written and she kept talking about it and Wild and all this stuff. And I didn't read it for the longest time.
And where were you when you read it for the first time?
I was in my kitchen. I was sitting at the kitchen table. I was by myself at home. And it was a Sunday morning, and I think we were probably starting to shoot something on Monday. And I know you know this from the past. I've, on this particular press tour, have been more emotional than I normally am. I never cry, certainly not at work. I don't, you know, the toughest thing for me as an actor used to be when I had to connect to things really emotional. I respond far more to language and the fun of sort of verbal sparring and all that. And I opened this page and I cried from page 1 to page 89 or whatever they were, because they're really long. And it was just a big moment, you know. It just really hit me hard.
Hmm. Did you feel a sense of relief that it was good?
Yes, I felt, but I knew it would be good. It's just
satisfying.
You know, yes, it was very satisfying to me. We'd always talked about avoiding in the original show. I would always say, just whatever it is, I just don't want it to end with a wedding. You know, it's just we're such. I don't know what we get to say about women and kind of what women need and who they are and what they go through is so special. And I just, you know, my taste is to not tie things up with a bow. Mm. There is, of course, a wedding in that episode, but to me it was so Amy. You know, it's sort of an accident. They decide it's for the moment. You know, Emily's not there. There's dancing and fairy lights and, you know, he pushes me on a cart through a thing. It just felt like a dream sequence from a musical, you know, and that struck me. It's why I know the musical itself in the show is controversial, or people felt maybe it was too long. I could have had an entire episode of it, because to me that is partially what the show is. It's a musical. You could perform these scripts on stage, you know. They're very theatrical, and I just love that. You know, it's such a strange, it's still to this day, it's a weird hybrid of so many things that there aren't 10 more like it. You know, Bunheads had a relation to it, obviously. Mrs. Maisel is, you know, has her voice, but I now understand in a different way, you know, the voice of your writer is absolutely everything. And if you can possibly be their mouthpiece, that's the place you want to be, you know, and then if you can like each other and have similar tastes, that's an incredible gift. And I have all that with Amy.
Some of my favorite moments, almost all of my favorite moments from the revival are with you and Kelly Bishop. The scenes, and almost all of them are in the therapist's office, which to me was just a gold mine.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want them to end.
Yeah.
What was it? Did you shoot all those at the same time?
Yeah, we shot them pretty much all together, and some of my favorites are also Us in the House. you know, when she comes down wearing my jeans, mm-hmm. when she's giving all the furniture away at the end, sort of when I you know, replicate that scene of asking her for money, and you know, that's like the pilot of the show, and just being with her, you know, is incredible. And those therapy scenes felt different, you know, they felt like a different, something we hadn't done before. It's so much of the show is movement and kind of has an energy to it, and that was planted, and you know, had a different, also nobody really speaks their inner monologue on that show. Lorelai is not in the habit of, you know, I'm really feeling like what I need is, it's just not that kind of speak, you know. So and I really thought that was a big piece of that arc for my character, was she's really having to grow up in some ways. She might have preferred not to, especially if her father didn't pass, you know. She's really facing her fears and her mom and her immaturity and, you know, and having to be thoughtful, and that's what those scenes let us do. Plus, you know, Kelly's just as instruments, you know, Peter once said about Ray Romano and I on Parenthood that, like, I'm a piccolo and he's a bassoon or something. And I just love that idea of when you have two different characters, you know, they're really literally two different sounds. And you could almost say that about Emily and Lorelai, you know, it's one's like, blah, 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 and the other one's like, Beamer, you know. And we got to really hang out with each other and really kind of get into it. And, you know, the funeral and the wake after the funeral, when I wake up, I'm trying to have a memory, I completely regress to some horrible, you know, inappropriate, gross teenage memory, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the ways in which they endlessly clash are really satisfying.
What is it like working with Kelly Bishop?
It's the best thing ever. I mean, she's deeply prepared, always. She is very, very considerate and thoughtful. She's extremely generous, you know, in terms of just, she has always really lifted me up and been, you know, vocally just so, just nice and complimentary and yes, go do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's, I like that. Yes. Uh-huh. Like she's like, you know, become sort of a friend, coach, teacher, master, you know, something. And just as people, we really love each other and both understand, both had complicated relationships with our mothers and understand what it is, you know, the terrain we're working in, and I think it's really both fun and possibly therapeutic, and you know, we challenge each other as much as two scene partners who've really experienced a lot together can, you know. And mm-hmm. that was part of the joy of coming back to the show too. I have a history with, never mind, you know, all these people I love personally, but a history with them as actors, and you can go different places when you have that, you know, different than walking into something with someone you don't know. These characters have lived with us and in us, you know, for a long time, and they're very real for us.
So you mentioned the pilot, Linda from HR, mm-hmm. which you recently shot. What was it like? Because that's the first thing you did since Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's obviously a tough act to follow. But was there a bit of, like, a reorientation of your mind that, oh, right, it's not always going to be like that?
For sure. And this was something I was drawn to. So one of the many things that's special to me about Gilmore Girls is the voice of that character. And that can take you through, for me anyway. There can be a plot, there can be no plot. There can be a town festival, there can be, you know, whatever it is, I know who I am, and I know what my point of view is. That is a very, very hard thing to find. I mean, think of all the, you know, medical or whatever law shows. It's not about necessarily, it takes a while to find the character within that structure of handling a case or a, you know, emergency. So having had that, I'm not expecting to find that right away necessarily. I think it's really the hardest thing to find. What I loved more about this show was it had a very ambitious premise. It was two fairly new writers who were very smart, and I believed in their ability to craft this strong, tough premise over time. Like, I knew they had enough ideas to keep us going, because that show was really much more about something happens to this person and her whole world turns upside down. And it was hard to picture, but it fun to imagine where it goes. Is it she's on capers? She's hiding things? It was a comedy that had intrigue involved. And I sort of thought the character part of it, which was there, but, you know, not like a Lorelai, but we could continue to, like, work on that and craft that and I can bring some of that, you know. And I just felt I was a producer on it. It met kind of the creative challenge I'm looking for, which is I really want to be part of the thing and not just show up and be like, what are my lines? You know, it's, and so I got to do all of that. And this has happened, you know, before. It is a cable-y premise. Does it meet the demands of network TV? You know, I think most networks are trying to find, are we still a network? Do we do more stuff like cable? Do we do limited runs? What do we do? You know, it's still kind of finding its way. And I just think it was not, it's the kind of show you need to have seen last week to see, know what happens this week. And I think they tried it and thought, I don't think this is right for us. And I would so much rather have that happen now than, like, six episodes and then we get moved to Friday night or, you know, whatever happens to, like, when, you know, I always think, like, pilot season. I haven't even done a pilot season in a long time because I was on a movie last year and then we were doing Gilmore. You know, I haven't even gone through this. And it's really like an intense dating game, you know? It's like, oh, I kind of like you, you like me. And then unless in the finished product, like, everybody falls in love, you should just part as friends, you know? And I'd be like, I'll call you. No, I'll never call you. Because, you've seen things where they try to squeeze it and, like, make it work. And, like, you know, so that was that. I'm glad we were saved. That fantastic people on it. I told you, Zach Knighton was, like, hilarious and great. I love these writers. And back to it.
Yeah.
Back to all the writing assignments I have that are overdue.
So what are you thinking in terms of the next step career-wise? Just you're waiting to find something that you love. Is that it?
Yeah. You know, I don't have an idea for myself right now. You know, like I did a few years ago when I tried to do that thing about first female late night talk show host on network TV, which still doesn't exist, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm pretty sure it's a half hour. I really feel like I've gotten to do the family, even within Gilmore Girls, family drama and that kind of thing. And, you know, I was watching at this thing that I did in New York, the Women in Television, they had this various clip packages from the Paley Center, and they were all so fantastic. And, you know, you see the, like, it's still the stuff I love best, the Murphy Brown, the Mary Tyler Moore, the Lucy, the Carol Burnett, the Veep, the, you know, I'm not a comedian like that, but those are just the shows I love. I'm more maybe a Rhoda. It was, you know, a little more
Rhoda reboot
character driven. And less, but if you ever watch Rhoda, everybody out there's like, shh, what are you talking about? It's not that joke driven, it's just kind of, it's true situation comedy and just great characters that, so, you know, I'm not the first, and nor will I be the last woman who grew up with these wishing there was something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even, do you remember that Taye Leone show where she's she's like a tabloid reporter.
Yes.
It
lasted
like
one
like,
season.
Yeah, but I, for some reason, I always think about that show because I love things that take place in like a newsroom or a, you know, like I liked that Tina Fey Great News thing. I don't know if that's staying.
Yeah, it's staying.
Yeah. So that's already been done. So I guess I can't be in a newsroom. But I just always loved that as a world.
I heard. I was listening to a recent interview you did, and you had been talking, I guess, to Amy about possibly making a guest appearance on Maisel.
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
I always forget how to pronounce that word. But she just got picked up for 2 seasons.
Yeah.
Are we going to see you? What are the odds that we're going to see you?
It's not like we talked about it. It's just I was obsessed with that pilot when I read it. You know, in the throes of working for her, then read this thing. And I was like, wait, can't I be 25 years old? And the girl was like, wait, I'm not? What do you, hold on, I'm sorry. How did that happen? And like, I was like, and the, whatever the character's name is, I was like, that's going to be, why can't I think of,
the lead?
No, Alex Borstein. I knew that character was going to be Alex Borstein. And there's a voice. So we do all these episodes, right? And Amy kept calling me or leaving me messages about my Godfather voice, which I do in the show. Do you remember this? The scene with Yannick. I don't think it's that great. It's her favorite thing. She would be like, she'd send me and she's like, oh, I had to edit it again. This Godfather thing, I fall over laughing. And I was like, for a long time, I let her do it. And then finally, I was like, I'm so glad you like that. Could you weigh in on the other 94,000 minutes of the show? She's like, oh, that's fantastic. But this is really... So she gets a weird kick out of these voices. And there's another thing that I forget the movie it's from. When I say, hooray for the Goldbergs. Is that what I say? It's like, no, hooray for the Bulldogs. It's from something. Believe me, no one is big enough. We need the real serious Gilmore Geeks to get on this. Hooray for the Bulldogs! And that's, when we vaguely talked about it, I said, if I came on the show, it should be like that kind of character. It should be like, because I love the period, you know, that we're in, and like, I want to be like completely different, like, you know, maybe I'm like the cigarette girl at the something, or like, I don't want to come over and be like, hey guys, does anybody have some coffee? I can't possibly be able to stay, but I, you know, like, I just don't want to do the same thing. And in general, I just sort of feel like, whether it's, I don't know, I don't want to do the thing I've done in terms of being just like a contemporary person. So maybe I wish Downton Abbey was still on, because that's really what I want. So yeah, I don't know. But, and also in general, it's always funny to be a guest on a show, you know. I would do it with her just for fun. I was just, you know, did 3 episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and it was completely fantastic. But,
yeah,
you know.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
So what can you say about, are you playing yourself?
No.
You're not playing yourself.
No. I'm playing, it was the perfect answer to what do I do now, because it's completely not me at all, and I speak in a way that I don't speak ever. And, you know, you get an outline and then you improvise around it. And we were in a scene one day with Ted Danson, and he was like, you can really, I mean, you know, this is cable. You can really, you know, think of like the craziest thing possible. And like, my brain so doesn't work that way. I play someone who has very colorful language.
Expletive colorful?
All kinds of colorful.
Okay. And you did 3 episodes of that?
Yeah.
And you're done? You shot them?
I'm done, yeah. And it was fantastic. And I worked with Larry almost exclusively, and there's really no greater joy than actually making Larry David laugh. It only happened, like, he really laughs hard. I felt this way about, I did 1 episode of Seinfeld, and as I said back in the day, and as I said to Larry, you know, I had been on TV in a number of shows. All my Long Island cousins cared about was my 1 episode of Seinfeld. And I was like, it really bought me like some cool points for a while. And now this Curb will do that, I think, too. But suddenly everything in life becomes a potential episode or discussion on Curb. You're like, microphones, why are they in that shape? You know, whatever. Like, everything suddenly becomes a possible conversation you could have. It was a really fun way of working. They all are so good at what they do. And I was surprised, you know, because that's a reboot in a way, too. He hadn't done the show for 5 years or whatever. Same group, got back together. And they really... yes, it's fun, but they really challenge each other still, and that was cool to see. You know, Jeff Schaefer, who's the producer and director, or one of them, you know, he'll really, they stand up to each other and have a lot of dialogue to make sure that everything is as good and smart and kind of fleshed out as it can be, and it was just an interesting process to watch.
Congratulations on the success of your second book, Talking as Fast as I Can, bestseller.
Thank you. Bestseller that stayed on the list for a while, which
yes,
I never had before. That was really cool.
It had staying power. Third book?
Yes. Well, there's... So here are the things I'm working on right now. I'm doing a bonus chapter for the paperback of Talking as Fast as I Can, just so that there's some... Because also, for people who might just be interested in that, and also... It's just like a little fun kind of where are we now sort of thing, since it was so kind of a rush to get the book out, and then just sort of talking a little bit about what it was like to promote it and promote the show and all, you know, sort of what happened since then.
Mm-hmm.
And then I am giving the high school graduation speech at my high school because my father signed me up. And
that's awesome.
It's really difficult to write a hopeful, helpful graduation speech. It's fun to do, but you want to give somebody, you know, something that they can walk away with. And I don't even remember who gave mine. So I'm working on that. Then I'm working on this old script that I'm trying to bring into the new age. Then I owe the publishers a whole other novel, which is I have half of, and then I put it down to do Talking as Fast as I Can. So that is a big project. And then I just got the rights to my editor's book, Windfall, Jen Smith's book, who is the editor I've been working with on both of my books.
Mm-hmm.
Wrote this beautiful book about kind of luck and love and a kid who wins the lottery. And I think that could be a cool movie. So I'm going to try to adapt that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. Let me review my notes here. We're wrapping up. Do you think you and Connie Britton will ever do something together?
I mean, sure.
Selfishly, I mean, I know you guys used to be roommates and
yeah.
You know each other. I feel like there would be a lot of excitement around a project with you and Connie Britton
funny.
In it.
I mean, sure. I would love to. People, before we were actors and we'd like be shopping somewhere, people are like, are you sisters? So I can completely... see that, and you know, we became friends because we were assigned a scene in acting class.
Mm-hmm.
And she came over and the scene was two girls getting drunk, and she came over and we got drunk because we're method actors. And so yeah, that would be really fun. I mean, that's honestly, it is fun to think about what next, and in the meantime I have a lot of, you know, writing assignments to do. And yeah, I guess the fear or the kind of what now is like, I just don't know what it would be. I don't know what it would be that would feel, it's unknown, I guess, which is fine.
And just lastly, in your gut of guts, do you think you'll ever play Lorelai again?
It's hard to answer because I would, for sure. Do I think all those things are going to come together in the way they did? It's going to feel like it's really something that everyone, you know, wants and needs to do. I think if we've talked about this, but I think if that were going to happen, wouldn't it have happened already? I mean, we could never possibly predict, right? We could never predict sitting here 10 years ago, you know. I don't know. Do you, in your gut? You think it's done, I think.
I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's done now.
Yes, right.
But 5 years from now,
right?
I don't know that it's done.
Yeah.
And also, because knowing how successful it was for Netflix, I don't foresee them maybe letting this go.
But then why not do it now or something?
Because maybe they know Amy has a show on Amazon
right.
that's keeping her busy.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think with success, you know, begets more
yeah.
success. So
well, I
we'll
definitely
see.
Because all I can answer when you say my gut, because there's if my gut ran show business, it would be a totally different place. So it's not that's not what will make it happen. My gut feeling about it, you know what I mean?
Right.
I would do it. I've said that before. It really is what is the sort of I don't know. Both the business end, the creative end, all that stuff. When I picture the possibility, it's not like the four things we just did. When I picture it, it's a Netflix movie. So it's like a limited, it's
mm-hmm.
it would be in a new category, but that's what I picture. And honestly, this became a little bit of a joke when we were on the junket, you know, where, cause somebody said to me, it's gonna be like Christmas on Walton Mountain, which for people under 100 is, you know, this family show that they then kept making sort of movies of the week and bringing them back. But in the best possible way, to me, what would be, I think, a great next step, whenever it is, you know, 5 years, 10 years, is a Christmas movie.
Mm. What I can promise you
yes.
is if it happens, you will be the first person I tell.
Exactly. You've known more about me than me for so long, Michael. Why have I changed now?
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I'm excited for your book, too.
Thank you.
Michael's book, spoiler alert, The Hero Dies. I'm in the middle of it right now. It's sad and funny and good.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
September 12th, bookstores near you.